بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم لا علم إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الكرام. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. We got to the three mu'alajat. He's taken us further, making it easier and easier to do something. He told us that we should do this every day. If we can't do it every day, we should do it once or twice a week. If we can't do it once or twice a week, once a month. If we can't do it once a month, then at least once a year. And then he said, beyond that, there's no hope. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ ذَكَّرَنَا بِالْجُمُعَةِ وَنَحْوِهَا وَنَدَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِلتَذَكُّرِ فِي يَوْمِهَا وَالتَّرْغِيبِ فِي الْإِنْصَاتِ وَكَثْرَةِ السَّلَامِ عَلَيْهِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَرَغَّبَنَا فِي صِيَامِ يَوْمٍ مِنْ أَيَّامِهَا وَجَعَلَ التَّوَقِّي فِي الْأُمُورِ مِنْ حَقِيقَةِ أَحْكَامِهَا فَقَالَ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ لا يجعل أحدكم يوم صومه كيوم فطره. So he said that Jumu'ah is a good thing because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us to remind ourselves on that day. We're encouraged to speak less on the day of Jumu'ah. We're encouraged to increase our prayers and peace on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also encouraged us to fast during the week at some point, once or twice a week, and he also made التوقي في الأمور من حقيقة أحكامها. In other words, desiring, being desirous of these things is part of the reality of these things that we've been given to do. Just having the desire for them. So even if you're not fasting, you have a desire to fast. If you're not doing a lot of prayer on the Prophet, you have a desire to do those things. So that's actually part of this deen as well, desiring for improvement, which inshallah would engender or lead to it. And then he said he also told us that one of us should not make the day we fast like the day we're not fasting. In other words, the day you do things that are meant to draw you near to Allah, you should be in a better state than other days. So if you're fasting just like and behave the same as you behave any other time of the week or the month or the year, if in Ramadan all you're doing is not drinking and eating, that's the only change that's occurred in your behavior. You haven't increased your Qur'an, you haven't increased your prayers, you haven't increased your nafilah, then he's saying something's wrong. وَكَذَلِكَ رَغَّبَ فِي صِيَامِ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ مِنْ كُلِّ شَهْرٍ وَفَرَضَ شَهْرَ رَمَضَانِ وَسَنَّ فِيهِ الْاَعْتِكَابِ. And also, he encourages sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fast 3 days of the month, every month. I mean, preferably it's on the 3 days, the white days, they call them, أيام الْبَيَاض, which is the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. Of the month. And now you can actually buy a what they call a lunar calendar, and it'll give you the whole year, it'll tell you when those days are, so you can mark them on your calendar. It's possible to do. But if you don't do those 3 days, those specific 3 days, any 3 days of the month, and the idea there is you have 12 months a year, 3 times 12 is 36, 10 times the ajr, 360. So it's as if you fast the whole year, on top of Ramadan being 30 days. And then you follow it up with how many days? 6 days, 36, 36 times 10, 360. So, khalas. It's as if you're fasting, if you do just 3 days out of the month, that the reward is if you fasted the whole year. And if you fast Ramadan with those 6 days that you follow, again you get it. So twice. You're getting that twice. So, this is why it's encouraged, one of the reasons. And also the i'tikaf, i'tikaf in Maliki madhab, he's a Maliki, that it's a sunnah in Ramadan only. There's other madhab, I think the Hanafi madhab, they can actually just go into the masjid and make intention of i'tikaf. Imam Malik, the i'tikaf, the sunnah of i'tikaf in the masjid is when you're fasting. You have to be fasting to make i'tikaf. If you're not fasting, you can't make it. وَبِالْ جُمْلَةِ فَالْهِمَّةُ حَامِلُ الْبَدَنِ وَمَنْ لَهُ أَدْنَى هِمَّةٍ اسْتَعَانَ بِهَا عَلَى أَمْرِهِ حَتَّى أَنَّهُ لَا يَجِدُ وَقْتَ فَرَاغٍ إِلَّا فَرْغَ فِيهِ بِمُرَادِهِ وَقَامَ بِهَا بِمَا يُمْكِنُهُ فِي الْحَالِ. So he says, in reality, himma, which is spiritual aspiration, himma can be high and low. You have himma daniya, which is low himma, and you have himma aliya, which is high himma. And then that breaks down also. You have himma aliya daniya, and himma aliya aliya. And then you have himma daniya aliya, and himma daniya daniya. So it'll go both ways. In other words, if you have himma aliya, it's for things of the akhirah. But even within that, you can have a low himma. In other words, you want hur al-'ain for something. That's considered dani. If that's your goal, it's a low goal. The high himma in the akhirah is the beatific vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To actually be in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a high himma. Firdaus al-a'la. To have high himma is to want the highest place station in the garden. That's a high himma. So with himma for akhirah, also there's degrees of that. People have degrees of it. And then himma in dunya, you have high dunyawi himma and you have low dunyawi himma. Like Mawlana Rumi, he once said, and this is not to be taken literally, but his point was about himma. He said, if you're going to fornicate, find a princess. In other words, don't go to hell for a prostitute. If your himma is going to be in the dunya, have high dunya himma. He said, if you're going to steal, steal a pearl. Don't steal something cheap. You know, and all he's doing is, he's saying, have high himma in things. One of the Turkish have a proverb. They say, if they're going to hang you from a tree, demand that it's the highest one. You know, have high himma even if you're hung. And once Imam al-Junaid, he walked by, he saw a man who was about to be hung. He was about to have his head cut off for brigandry. Imam Junaid stopped and he said, As-salamu alaykum. He said, Wa alaykum as-salam. And one of his students said, do you show a brigand like that respect? He said, I'm impressed with any man willing to give his life for what he desires. That's an ishara, you know. I mean, obviously it's a wretched people that do those things. But his point was, he's willing to give his life for dunya. You're not willing to give your lives for akhirah. That was the point. So then he says that person, even if he has a low himma, he should use it to get to what he desires. Even if your himma is not that high. Say you only have himma to do 10 minutes of dhikr in the morning and the evening. That's himma. So what he's saying is utilize it. Even if you have a little bit of himma, don't waste it. Utilize it. And he said, then the person who finds leisure time, he'll utilize it to seek what he's desiring. And he'll do it even at the time. Like if you find it right now, you do it. Oh, I've got 10 minutes. And that's why nobody should ever say, you know, it's like people that get upset about waiting in an office. You should always have something with you, like bring a book or bring a subha. A Muslim should never have a problem with waiting for something. One of the interesting things of Islam is it's ibadah to wait for the prayer in the masjid. So you can utilize any free time that you have for something useful. فَإِنْ كَانَ مُتَسَبِّبَ قَامَ بِالذِّكْرِ الْمَذْكُورِ مَعَ أَسْبَابِهِ. So if he's really going to take these asbab, these means, that he'll remember what has been mentioned and take these means to arriving at it. If you're serious about this, he's saying, I'm giving you means. And if you're serious about this, you're going to use these means to achieve what you desire to achieve. وَإِنْ كَانَ مُتَجَرِّدًا جَعَلَ ذِكْرًا مَذْكُورًا مَوْضِعَ اِكْتِسَابِهِ. So if you're what's known as a mutasaddib, somebody in the world, then you're going to use what's mentioned despite the fact that you're in the world. That's what he means here. That if you're in the world, like you're somebody preoccupied with work, things like that, you're still going to use what's been given you in accordance with your capability. If you're what's called a mutajarrid, somebody who, like a student of knowledge, who's not engaged, he's not working, he doesn't have any dunyawi concerns. He's not worried about the rent, about food, all that's being taken care of. Maybe his family's supporting him, or maybe he has a scholarship, or whatever. That person is going to make this work the source of his livelihood. In other words, just like the people who are in the dunya, who are working for their money to pay their rent and everything, the people who Allah has freed them of those type of obligations, they will earn their livelihood with Allah by being people of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They won't waste their time. Because if Allah has relinquished those concerns from you, even if it's for a period of your time, that you should repay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas people that are, Allah has given them the responsibility of family, of working in the dunya, of children, like a woman has children, these type things, those people are ma'dur, they have an excuse, because they genuinely are preoccupied. But somebody who's not preoccupied, or if you're a prisoner in prison, and you made tawbah, don't waste the time. So that's what he means. وَإِنْ كَانَ طَالِبَ عِلْمٍ جَعَلَهُ فِي تَصَرُّفَاتِهِ إِذْ لَيْسَ طَرَبُ الْعِلْمِ بِمُسْتَغْرَقٍ جَمِيعَ أَوْقَاتِهِ. If he's a seeker of knowledge, then he'll put it in his activities. Because he said seeking knowledge is not going to preoccupy all of your time. So if you have dars to study, خلاص, you study your dars. But he's saying you can't do that all the time. So you'll work it out where you have time to do this work. I mean, this is work on the self. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about doing work on yourself. This is work to change your condition. وَأَسَاسُ كُلِّ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَنْبُعُ مَجَامِعِ الْبِرِّ وَالْبَرَكَاتِ إِنَّمَا هِيَ أُمُورٌ ثَلَاثَةٌ. So now he's saying the foundation of all good, the source of all the gatherings of righteousness and blessings is only found in three things. Now we have three more things. This is the foundation. If you use these three things, it's going to enable you to do other things. أولها الاستعانة بالله والاستغاثة به على بساط الفقر والمسكنة والذلة. That you have to seek the help of Allah and seek the succor of Allah. And you have to do it on the carpet spread of poverty, of complete divestment, and of humiliation. In other words, not for other people, but you go into a state of dhalil. Dhalil is a low state. So before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're dhalil. لا تقدموا بين يديه الله ورسوله. Don't put yourselves before Allah and His Messenger. When Allah and His Messenger say something, you say, سمعنا وأطعنا. We hear and we obey. You don't say, why do we have to do this? So he's saying that you have to have isti'ana with Allah. In isti'an, fasti'in billah. It's a hadith. When you seek help from Allah. What istighatha is seeking the Allah is al-ghawth. He's the one that helps you. Aghithna. You seek istighatha with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you do it through poverty, divestment, and humbleness. وَلَوْ فِي لَحْظَةٍ مِنْ لَحْظَاتِ اللَّيْرِ وَالنَّهَارِ فِي الْجُمْلَةِ. Even if this is for a moment during the day or the night, just one moment, have faqr before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one moment of your day. Do ibtihal to Allah. One moment. Ya Allah. Ha ana faqirun bayna yadayk. Just with impoverishment. One moment before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying, even if you only do it one moment in the day, do it. Don't let a day go by that you don't beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Because Allah yujib al-muttar ila da'a. He will answer. The one, the muttar is a beautiful word. Muttar is somebody who's in a state of darura. And that's the way you have to look at your life. Because the reality of it is that يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. If that's the day that nothing will help you except a sound heart, you're in absolute desperate need to rectify your heart. This is a darura. People blame, like traditionally some of the Sufiya, they used to wear rags and beg in the streets. And people would blame them. And it is, it's malamati, it's not something that's encouraged by sunnah. Al-mu'minu la yudhillu nafsu. But the point is, the reason that those people did, they wanted to break kibr from their hearts completely. Even one of them, Sidi Ali al-Jamal Fath, he was a minister. And he was filled with arrogance. And at a certain point he realized,
that Kippur was going to take him to the hell. And he ended up, he used to sit on a garbage heap. And he was known before, he was a rich minister that people looked up. He used to sit on a garbage heap outside of the city of Fez, and people said he went crazy. And I'm not saying people should do this. Don't do that. All right. But the point is, that's somebody who's like in a, he's muttar. You know, I have to do something to change my state. That is the type of state that Allah will answer your prayers. If you make prayers in a state of ittirar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what Sidi Abdul Wahid ibn Ashur says, لَيْسَ الدُّوَىٰ إِلَّا فِي اطْتِرَارِ لَهِ. There's no cure for the nafs except to go with ittirar to Allah. And one of the things about most converts, I mean, I haven't done a poll of all the converts, but most converts that I know of, usually the guidance came following a period of real, absolute necessity. They got to a point where they really felt, I need help. And there was a state of just total sense of helplessness. And when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that state, He answers you. The guidance will come. Because Allah is Rahman Rahim. If you ask Him in that state, the guidance will come. So that's what He's saying. وَالثَّانِي, so that's the first one. إِسْتِعَانَ وَاسْتِغَاثَ بِاللَّهِ. Even if it's one moment during the day. That's أَسَاسُ الْخَيْرِ. You have to do that. الثاني تجديد العزم في العلل الدافعة عن المقصود بإفراد الهمم للمراد دون تردد ولا مهلة. The second is renewing your sincere effort in overcoming those blemishes that are preventing you from arriving to your goal. بإفراد الهمم للمراد دون تردد ولا مهلة. And by singling out your spiritual aspirations without hesitation, without a moment's neglect. So what he's saying here is that you have to renew your when عزمت فتوكل على الله. You know, إذا عزمت فتوكل على الله. When you have عزيمة, you have to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خير البر أعجله. The best righteousness is what you do quickly. If you have عزيمة, you have to renew your عزيمة. And that's why عزيمة is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll give you an example. I know somebody who became a Muslim and very high himma. And I knew somebody who knew him before he was a Muslim. And I was really impressed with his self-discipline. And the fact that he was only about 19, became Muslim, and he just became totally directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, studying. It was really amazing to watch that, especially in this age because there's so little discipline. People don't have discipline anymore. It's not an age of discipline. And I asked somebody about how he was before Islam, and he said, you know, because this person was an athlete, and he said when everybody used to go play, he used to go practice his sport. That's what he would do. And he was a star athlete. But he used to go, when everybody else would go and play or go to the party or something, he would say, I'm going to practice. And he would just do his practice. And that's azima. And it's either for daniya or aliya. It's something high or low. If it's something like sports, it's a low thing. Like somebody spends all his time 5 hours a day practicing soccer, kicking a soccer ball. It's a himma daniya. There's a discipline there. It's like Harun al-Rashid in his majlis. It's one of my favorite stories. But in his majlis, he used to have people used to come and they would do things to impress him. And if he was really impressed, he'd give him a reward. So this man came and what he could do was he lined up these needles. And in those days, the needles were big. They had, and he took another needle and he could throw the needle through the eye of the needle with a thread. And he would thread a needle. And he had them lined up, 10 of them. And he did 10. And each one he thread. So Harun al-Rashid said, give him 40 dinars and 10 lashes. And the man said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I understand the reward, but why the punishment? He said, I love itqan in anything. And you've certainly mastered a skill that took a great deal of time. So I'm giving you the 40 dinars. But I'm giving 10 lashes for wasting your time in learning such a stupid thing. So don't... This is a high thing he's calling us to. So that's the second one. Renewing your sincere desire to reach your goal and to fight those things that are preventing you from getting there. الثالثُ وجود الحزم في المبادرة للمطلوب بعد تحقيق المناط. The third one is that you have hazm. The hazm, Allah, I'll give you an example. Some of the Sahaba used to do their shafa' and witr before they went to sleep. And some would do it after they went to sleep, they'd get up in the night. Those who did it before, they said that was ahzam. There was more hazm in it because the possibility of losing it by oversleeping, it wasn't going to happen. So what he means here is that you have to have hazm in your initiations to reach at what you're getting. بعد تحقيق المناط. Once you realize what you need to do, what's necessary to do, have that discipline of doing it. Because here's the way the nafs works, okay, and we all know this. That's why it'll be familiar. You're at the masjid, you pray Isha, and then you say, I'm going to go pray Shafa and Witr when I get home. And then you get home, and something happens, somebody calls the telephone, you talk on the telephone, then you feel tired, you end up going to bed. You see, that's what the nafs will do. It will always try to get you to procrastinate. And the procrastination will inevitably lead to missing what you originally wanted to do. It's the nature of the nafs. It will always do this. It will tell you, for instance, I'm just giving you an example. Somebody who, he's trying to give up chocolates. And then somebody brings a box of chocolates to him. He says, I'll just have one. He opens it up, and he has one, two, it's not going to hurt, three. This is the way the nafs works, and it'll do that again and again consistently. The way to overcome that is through hazm. You say, for instance, and I'll give you an example of somebody who has hazm. It's very rare for people to memorize the Quran after they go into adulthood. It's just not, it's very uncommon in Islam. Because the Qur'an is very difficult, it takes a lot of effort and work, and it takes consistent mudawama. Shaykh Abdullah, he memorized the Qur'an after he was in his 20s. But what he did is he made the time between Maghrib and Isha for memorization of Qur'an. And he would not let anything get in his way of that. Nothing. See, because what will happen is, say you make the intention, okay, I'm going to khalas, use Maghrib and Isha. But then somebody invites you out, and you say, oh, tonight I'll do it. He invited me. It's sunnah to answer invitations, this and that. See, this, the nafs will do all this. And then you go and do it, and then the next night, see, you've broken your pattern. And what the ulama say, turn your back on studies for a day, it turns its back on you for a week. Turn your back on it for a week, it turns its back on you for a month. And this is why one of the insidious aspects of the 5-day work week. Traditionally in the Muslim world, Muslims work 7 days a week. Imam Malik is makruh to take Friday off in Malik's madhhab. Muslims didn't have a holiday. Instead of working 8 hours a day, they work 6 hours a day. So they actually accomplished more by working 7 days a week and had more time every day for their families. What happens in the West is people work 8-9 hours a day. It takes them an hour to get there and an hour to get back. They end up working about 12 hours a day. You have 16 hours of wakefulness. By the time you get home, you are so exhausted, you can barely say hello to your children. But what happens is you get these 2 days, and what do people do? They sleep till 9, 10 in the morning. See, every day they get up, 6:30, 7 o'clock to go to work. On the weekend, that's when they can oversleep. That breaks the patterns. Whereas khairul umur adwamuha wa inqad, the best things are those that are continuous, even if it's a little bit. So that's what he's saying. Have hazm in what you do, even if it's a little bit. What the nafs will do is you'll wake up before Fajr, it'll say, pray sunnahs 10 rak'ats. And then shafa and witr. So 13 altogether. Or 8 and 2 and 1, 11. Alal khilaf. So it'll tell you do that and do long rak'ats. But then the next day, you don't do that. It's better to do 2 rak'ats consistently every day than do 8 here and then for a week you don't do anything and then like that. That's what he's saying. Be consistent في المبادرة بعد تحقيق المنع. وهذه أمور يوجهها التوفيق ويدفعها الاشتغال بالتدقيق لأن بساط التوفيق الذي هو الصدق يمنع من التشعب لتوقفه على الحق والحق في كل شخص باعتبار حاله. This is deep psychology, by the way. This man is a psychologist of the highest order. This is somebody who really understands how the nafs works. He said these things that he's giving you will all be aided by tawfiq from Allah. But what will prevent them is being too preoccupied with the details. If you become obsessed with the details. Because the nature of tawfiq, and tawfiq is from sincerity, that's where you get tawfiq from Allah, is that it's something that prevents tashaub, all this diversification, لتوقفه على الحق, because it's concerned with al-haq, and haq is one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't see the forest for the trees, that's what he's saying. The nature of the nafs is it will obsess you in the details. So you lose sight of what the goal of this is. The goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that can give you the openings. And the most important thing about tawfiq is ikhlas. Don't forget that. So the more important than all the details that he's giving you is the sincerity behind it. That is what's really going to make this thing happen. وَالْحَقُّ فِي كُلِّ شَخْصٍ بِاعْتِبَارِ حَالِهِ. And the reality of every person is always with the consideration of his state. شَيْءٌ وَاحِدْ يَظْهَرُ فِي عُلُومِهِ وَأَعْمَالِهِ. It's one thing that's going to manifest in what he knows and what he does. وَإِذَا ذَكَرْتَ ذُنُوبَكَ فَأَتْبِعْهَا بِالتَّفْضِيلِ. بالتفصيل واحذر من تفصيلها من الشغل بالتقصير حتى تقصد لإزالتها وكذلك فاحذر الاقتصار على الاعتراف بجملتها واعلم أن تذكير النفس على قدرها في التلبس واللبس فكل نفس كان ولوعها بالعلم والحكمة فلا تذكر بغيره وإلا كان لها منفرة ونقمة وإلا كان المذكر لها منفرة ونقمة. So what he's saying here is, if you remember your wrong actions, don't ignore some over the others. Really look at what's going on in your life, so that you can make tawbah for them. But beware, in looking at them in great detail, that you become preoccupied in really fixing them in yourself. In other words, your preoccupation with your wrong actions can end up actually strengthening the wrong actions in yourself. You have to let them go. Because one of the things about wrong action, and this is something Shaytan was doing, this is really important, alright, because this I think inshallah will help people. One of the things, the greatest things that Shaytan will try to do is make you feel disgusted with yourself in order that you go into a state of despair. Because Shaytan loves ya'as. His name is Iblis. Iblis means ablasa. He despaired. And that state he loves more than any other state to engender in the hearts of the children of Adam. So what he will do is he will try to get you to become preoccupied with your past wrongs. Especially if they're things that you are habituated to. In other words, some people have wrong actions that they have a difficult time getting rid of them. Whatever they are, everybody knows themselves. And what Shaitan will do is that he'll remind you, you're a hopeless case. You're unworthy of being Abdullah, of being in the presence of Allah. You should just give up. And that's what he's saying. Don't let that happen. حَتَّى تَقْصِدَ لِإِزَارَتِهَا. In order that you're able to remove them. If you do otherwise, you won't be able to get rid of them. وَكَذَٰرِكَ فَحْذَرَ الْاِقْتِصَارَ عَلَى الْاَعْتِرَافِ بِجُمْلَتِهَا. But at the same time, see again, he's warning us from extremes. Don't go into a total obsession where you're just obsessed with your wrong actions. And at the same time, don't just say, oh, I admit, I'm a wrongdoer. And you don't look at the individual things you're doing wrong. Don't go into either extreme. Don't become obsessed with them to the point where you're preoccupied with them all the time. But at the same time, when you're doing your muhasaba, don't just say, astaghfirullah li kulli dhunub. Whatever I did, I don't know. No, really look at what you're doing wrong. Because this is the way, by making tawbah of these wrong actions, this is how Allah will forgive them. And also, it's the way that you get them removed. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ تَذْكِيرَ النَّفْسَ عَلَى قَدْرِهَا فِي التَّلَبُّسِ وَاللِّبْسِ فَكُلُّ نَفْسٍ كَانَ وُلُوعُهَا بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ فَلَا تُذَكِّرُ بِغَيْرِهِ. And know that the reminder of the soul is based on what it's engaged in. So for instance, a nafs who is very attracted to knowledge, you're interested in studying and things like this, and hikmah, wisdom, you won't be able to be exhorted or reminded with other than those things. So for instance, an alim, if he hears a what you call a qas, like there's people, you know, in jama'at, they go to mosques and they give wa'al. And they tell people how they should be better Muslims. A talib ilm is rarely affected by those type of people because their knowledge base is so small. That's the nature. Whereas a seeker of knowledge, if he hears a alim giving him tadkir, it'll have a greater impact on him. Because he respects the knowledge. So that's what he's saying. That the nature of your nafs is going to determine what affects you when you hear wow. وَإِلَّا كَانَ لَهُمْ مُنَفِّرًا وَنِقْمًا. It'll actually end up distancing you. And it'll become a niqma on you. Because you'll see this guy and you'll start thinking, how did this idiot get up here and start telling me? He doesn't know anything. And then it becomes a niqma. Because you end up becoming arrogant. You see, and this is serious psychology. وَكُلُّ نَفْسٍ غَلَبَ عَلَيْهَا الْجَهْلَ الْبَصِيرِ فَالْوَعْضُ تَذْكِرُونُ تَنْشِيرٌ. But every nafs that is really ignorant and he knows he's ignorant, فَالْوَعْضُ تَذْكِرُونُ تَنْشِيرٌ. Any exhortation is going to affect him and get him going. That's why somebody can hear a simple preacher. And if he's an ignorant worshipper, he doesn't know very much, he hears it, and he's like, subhanallah, he's amazed. Did you hear what he said? I'm going on khuruj fi sabilillah. He's ready to jump in there and go out. Because there are different levels of people. And there's a danger in that, by the nature. وَكُلُّ نَفْسٍ غَلَبَ عَلَيْهِ الْجَدَلِ فَقَلَّ أَن تُدْفَعْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْحِيَلِ. But every nafs that has argumentation rooted in it, these type of simple strategies to get him motivated aren't going to work. Because he's going to want to argue that hadith isn't a sahih hadith. You know, that you get a million times reward for doing this or that. He's going to say, yeah, akhi, that's hadith da'if or it's mawdu'ah or something. He wants to argue. So he's saying that's not going to work, those type of strategies. For this person. قال الله تعالى ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. So look at this verse. Call to your Lord على سبيل. بالحكمة. This is for people of intellect. You have to use hikmah with them. That doesn't work. والموعظة الحسنة. And give موعظة حسنة to people. If that works. Other people you have to jidal, you have to actually present in a very logical way what you're trying to get why they should be doing something. You can't just simply tell them, this is good for you. You have to tell them like, why it's good for you. You have to explain it. You have to. So Allah gives different ways. These are different strategies for speaking. ادعوا إلى سبيل في الحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. These are different ways. It's not the same way. And then, وقال الله تعالى ومن اتخذ إله هواه فمن يهديه من بعد الله. As for the one who takes his caprice as his God, who will guide him after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? يعني أنها لا تنفع فيها الحيل. This type of person who's following his hawa, it doesn't benefit him the strategies to get him motivated because he's lost in his passions. وفي الخبر ما تعلم قوم الجدل إلا حرموا من العمل. No people learns how to argue except they're prevented from action. And you have argumentative Muslims. There's a lot of them nowadays. They'll watch other people how they pray so they can go pick on them. Ya akhi, where'd you learn how to pray? It's not sunnah to hold your hands under your stomach. It's not sunnah to hold your hands at your side. So these are sicknesses in people's heart. This isn't about truth. It's, you're dealing with psychological diseases. And that's why it's just pathologies. And if you know them, then you see, you know, this guy's sick. There's really something في قلوبهم مرض, you know. And that's the point. Because the people of Allah, they don't argue, they don't go to expose people's faults. There are two things. One, if you're going to do Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi an al-Munkar, you have to know about khilaf. وَلَا يُكُنُوا أَمْرًا أَوْ زَاجِرًا إِلَّا الَّذِي فِي الْعِلْمِ قَدْ تَمَهَّرَ وَعَلِمَ الْإِجْمَاعَ وَالْخِلَافَ وَاتَّسَعَ عِلْمُهُ اتِّسَاعًا. Sidi Abdullah ibn Hajj Ibrahim says that you cannot make Amr bin Ma'ruf or Nahi an al-Munkar unless you know ijma' and khilaf. And you also have to have a broad base of knowledge. Because if you see somebody praying with their hands at their side, you know that's the mashhur of Malik's madhab. And la yunkar. You cannot make inkar of that. It's haram to make inkar of that. You can't tell somebody you can't pray like that. It is haram to make inkar of that. Because that is a dominant opinion of one of the rightly guided schools of Islam. And the ulama have never made inkar of it. There's ulama who have preferred the other opinion, and that's what they've written in their books. But the ulama have never said, you can't do that, you have to do this. No, they've said, it's better that you do this. The dalil is stronger. That's another thing. But you can't say you can't do that, it's not from the sunnah. No. The imam has his adilla, the school has their adilla, their proofs. So you have to know where the khilaf is. If you see somebody praying with his hands under his belly button, that's the madhab of Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu. Can't say you have to hold your hand here or here. So you have to know the khilafat, and you have to have a broad base of knowledge, because it's haram. And then also what Imam Uthman Danfodio radiallahu anhu said, is that you have to have compassion for the ummah. In other words, the reason that you're going to, is to elevate people. You don't want to abase them. You don't want to humiliate them. You don't want to make fun of them. You don't want to argue with them. If you're genuine in your concern and care for them, you're not going to be arguing with them. You're going to be first trying to win them over. You first go up and smile. How are you doing? MashaAllah. I said, nice to see you in the masjid. I haven't seen you here before. I mean, just you open up a conversation with them. You don't go up and say, Ya akhi, haram alik. I mean, it's not, this isn't the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The man who urinated in the masjid, the Sahaba wanted to kill him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually had them veil him. And then he went over and he spoke to them. There was another man who, he sneezed in the prayer, and he heard somebody sneeze and he said, Yarhamukullah. And all the Muslims in the prayer looked over at him. And he looked at all of them, like, what are you looking at? You know, what did I do? And then when the prayer was over, the Prophet ﷺ called him over and smiled. He smiled at him. And he said, this prayer is a prayer for tasbih, tahmid. It's for remembering Allah. There's no, we don't speak during the prayer. That's what he said.
The man said, Wallahi, I never saw a teacher before him or after him more sweet to his students than him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the sunnah. These people go around saying, sunnah, bid'ah, haram. That's sunnah. To be nice to your Muslim brother is sunnah. Like one Egyptian man was in Medina, and you know, the Egyptian, after they do the prayer, they shake hands. And they say, haraman. You know, like, maybe we'll pray in the haram. And this Egyptian man said this to next to this man from another country, haraman. And he said, taqabbalallah. And he threw his hand down. And he said, hadi bid'ah. And the man said, is that man a sunnah? You know, in other words, if it's bid'ah, just tell me, you know, akhi, jazakallah khairan, hada du'a, tayyib. You wanted to make a du'a for me, it's nice. But it's not a sunnah. You know, it's actually better. And then you give your dalil. The imam said it's better not to do it, this and that. Or there's khilaf. You know, some of the imams, they said it's alright. But, I mean, if you really want to educate the person, but if you're just trying to insult somebody, don't try to make it a self-righteous. Just admit, you know, look, brother, I'm sick in my heart, and I like to be mean to people. Alright, so get out of my face. So then he said, وَيَعْنِي وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ أَلْجَدْرَ النَّفْسِي الَّذِي هُوَ إِقَامَةِ الْحُجِزْ لِي مَا يُوَافِقَ الْهَوَى. And he means by this, egotistical argumentation. See, this is psychology. In other words, he's not saying argumentation in which you want the truth to manifest. No, in which you want yourself to manifest. That's what he's saying. This is jadda nafsi, egotistical argumentation for the sake of the nafs. And this is why our great Imam Shafi'i, radiallahu anhu, he said, I never argued with anyone. Except before I entered into the debate, I asked Allah that He would make the truth manifest on my opponent's tongue and not on mine, so that I could submit to it. See, that's the wali of God. I mean, that's somebody, the ego is not participating. Imam al-Ghazali said, if you're in a gathering and you want to say something for the truth, he said, look into your heart and say, do I want to say this because my ego wants to manifest, or because I indeed really want the truth to manifest? That's the question you have to ask yourself. What's the dafi'? What's the impetus behind your action? الَّذِي وَإِقَامَةَ الْحُجِزِ مَا يُوَافَقَ لَهُ حَتَّى لَا يَسْلَمْ مَعْهُ عِلْمٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ مِنْ دُخُولِهِ فِيهِ. And it gets to the point where he doesn't benefit from neither his knowledge nor his actions. Because he's got this ostentatiousness, riya, entering into his actions. وَيَتَمَكَّنُ مِنْ حَقِيقَةِ صَاحِبِهِ تَمَكُّنًا لَا يَتَفَطَّنُ لَهُ مَعَهُ لِغَرَبَتِهِ عَلَيْهِ. And this becomes so essential to this person's reality, he's not even aware of it. Because it's overcome him completely. So this is why this person, if you point out to him, you know what, it just seemed like this is your ego, he'll never accept that from you. You know, he'll go into, I want the truth, and that's why I'm good. No, it's not. It's a psychological sickness. But it's so deeply rooted in this person that he doesn't see it like that. إِذَنَّ الْهَوَىٰ إِذَا تَمَكَّنَ أَثْمَرَ عِلْمًا عَلَىٰ وِفْقِهِ. Because the nature of caprice, if it firmly roots itself in the soul, it brings to fruition knowledge that's in accordance with it. It's an amazing statement. What he's saying there is, when hawa, your caprice, becomes so firmly rooted, you'll even end up justifying, and your knowledge will be in accordance. So for instance, you'll study only the hadith that confirm your opinion. You won't look at the hadith that are against your opinion. And I guarantee you this happens. This really does. There are people, there's hadith sahih that refute their opinion, they won't look at them. They won't look what the ulama said about them. Because it's not in concordance with their hawa, and they've completely submitted to their hawa, and they're convinced that they did this for the sake of Allah. And this is the diseases of the heart. This is the self. And then he said, وَلِذَٰلِكَ عَزَّ تَرْحِيلَةُ فِيهِ حَتَّرَ قَدْ قِيلَ نَحْتُ الْجِبَالِ بِالْأَوَافِرِ أَيْسَرُ مِنْ زَوَالِ الْهَوَىٰ إِذَا تَمَكَّنْ. This strategy becomes so great in this person that it's to the degree that it's even been said to carve mountains, to dig mountains, pull down mountains with your fingernails is easier than removing caprice from the soul if it's become firmly rooted, like bid'ah and heresy and things like this. وَهَذِهِ الْخَصْلَ هِيَ الَّتِي تَرُدَّ السَّارِكَ إِلَى خَلْفِ وَإِلَى أَسْفَرَ السَّافِلِينَ. And this quality will end up forcing the wayfarer on this path. It will regress him and pull him back. And it will reduce him to the lowest of the low. وَتَدَعَ الْعَالَمَ الْعَالِمْ فِي غَمْرَةِ الْغَافِلِينَ. And it will actually put the scholar into the company of those heedless ones. الْغَافِلِينَ. وَمَا أَظُنُّ أَكْثَرَ الْخَلَائِقْ بَلْ جُلُّهُمْ رَجَعُوا بَعْدَ الْوُصُولِ إِلَّا مِنْ تَضِيعِ هَذَا الْأَصَلِ الْمَأْمُولِ واعتبر هذا بقوله في الحكم من جهل المريد أن يسيء الأدب فتؤخر العقوبة عنه فيقول لو كان هذا سوء أدب لقطع الله الإمداد وأوجب الإبعاد. So he says, and my belief about this is that the majority of creation, most of the creation, in fact almost all of them, did not regress after arrival except because they were unaware of this most important principle. So reflect on the words of the Hikam when he said, from the ignorance of a seeker of this path is that he does something with bad adab and there's no uquba, there's no punishment that results from it immediately. In other words, it's delayed or deferred. And then he says, if this really was bad adab, Allah would have stopped his imdad. He would have removed his help from me and he would have distanced me from the state that I'm in. فَقَدْ يَقْطَعُ الْمَدَدْ عَنْهُ يُقْطَعُ الْمَدَدُ عَنْهُ أَوْ يَقْطَعُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الْمَدَدْ عَنْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُ. Because he can remove his madad from this person from where he's not even aware of. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that you can have إحباط الأعمال, you can lose all of your actions, وهم لا يشعرون, they're not even aware of it. I mean, Shaykh al-Hasimi said, if you talk during the Adhan, you'll lose all of your good actions and you won't even be aware of it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't raise your voice over the voice of the messenger, and the nida is, Allah is calling us to the prayer. So then he says, وَقَدْ تُقَامْ مَقَامَ الْبُعْدِ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَدْرِي. And he could be in a place of bu'd, of distance from Allah, and he's not even aware of it. وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ إِلَّا أَنْ يُخَلِّيَكَ وَمَا تُرِيدْ. And even to the degree that if it's the only thing that he does is that he leaves you in what you desire. In other words, that's enough to consider yourself distant from Allah, that you're doing all these things and thinking that they're all right with Allah. So he's really warning us about that. Now we come to the last, the khatima here. قَدْ عَرَفْتَ أَيُّهَا الْأَخِ طَرِيقَ التَّوْبَةِ طَرِيقَ التَّوْبَةِ وَوَجْهَ الرُّجُوعِ بَعْدَ الْأَوْبَةِ فَإِذَا وَقَفْتَ بِبَابِهَا وَهُوَ نَدَمْ عَلَى مَا فَاتْ فَحَقِّقْ وُجُودَهَا بِالْعَمْرِ عَلَى مُقْتَضَاهَا عَلَى الثَّبَاتِ عَالِمًا أَنَّ التَّوْبَةَ مِنْكَ إِلَيْهِ تَوْبَةٌ مِنْهُ عَلَيْكَ فَإِنْ نقضتها بعد العزم فهي عائدة عليك وإن استمرت عليك فهي كرامته لديك لأن فعلك تعرض لنفحات رحمته وثباتك من وجود منته ولهذا لازم العود إلى التوبة كلما عاد الذنب إذ أوصاف العبد لا تقضي على أوصاف الرب وقد وعد بفضله كما توعد بعدله وليس أحدهما بأولى من الآخر في محله فالفرار منه جناية والبدار إليه هداية والتوفيق منه عناية ولئن كان النقص والعود عظيمة فالرجوع إلى كرمه أعظم من العظيم.
So he says that now you know, my brother or my sister, the path of Tawbah and the way to return after you've regressed. So if you stand before its door and it is having remorse about the past, realize its existence in your actions in that they're in accordance with it with consistency, knowing that Tawbah from you to him is Tawbah from him to you. In other words, recognize that your Tawbah, فَلَمَّا تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ تَابُوا, you know, when Allah makes Tawbah to you, your Tawbah to Allah is in fact His returning to you. So you should see that. The fact that you're making Tawbah, He opened that door for you. And that in itself is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, so if after you're firm, you lose it again, in other words, you fall back into it, then know that it's because of something you did. It's your own fault. But if the Tawbah is maintained and consistent, know that it is His generosity to you. لأن فعلك تعرض نفحات رحمته. Because your action, this Tawbah that you did, is presenting yourself or putting yourself in the presence of the fragrances of His mercy. What you're doing is you're exposing yourself to the fragrances of His mercy. So it's like when you go by a rose bush, you stop and you breathe in that fragrance of the rose. What he's saying is your Tawbah is breathing in the fragrances of His mercy. That's what you're doing. You're stopping to inhale the fragrance of His mercy. And that your firmness on this is as a result of His gifts. And for this reason, you must return to Tawbah whenever you return to your wrong action. Keep coming back. There's a beautiful poem by Mawlana when he says, come back, whoever you are. Thief, robber, sinner, keep coming back. Even if you broke your vows 1,000 times, come back. Ours is not a caravan of despair. And this is not the caravan of despair. That's Iblis's path. See, he did something wrong and then he despaired. He said, there's no hope for me. The children of Adam, they do the wrong and they keep coming back. And Allah says, you keep coming back, He'll keep coming back to you. So don't despair. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't ever despair of the mercy of Allah. No matter how much you do wrong, just keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. And the wrong actions hopefully will get more and more subtle. You have to keep coming back until the day you die. The moment of death. You just keep making Tawbah. They get more and more subtle. That's the hope. If you're in Kaba'ir, you get rid of your Kaba'ir and you work on your Saga'ir. And then he says, because إِذْ أَوْصَافِ الْعَبْدِ لَا تَقْضِي عَلَى أَوْصَافِ الرَّبِّ. Because no matter how much of the qualities or the descriptive nature of the servant, they in no way can diminish the character of your Lord. So your wrong actions, no matter how great they are, they don't diminish His rahmah. So don't think anything you do has any effect on your Lord. Your Lord stays the same. He's Tawwab, He's Ar-Rahman, He's Ar-Rahim. And then he says, وَقَدْ وَعَدَ بِفَضْرِهِ كَمَا تَوَعَدَ بِعَدْرِهِ. And he has promised to show his bounty and his mercy just as he's promised to show his justice. So you have to have hope with fear. In other words, don't think, oh, he's all rahmah, I don't have anything to worry about. No, you have to be concerned, which is why you make Tawbah. If you didn't have to worry, you wouldn't have to worry about your wrong actions. No, you should worry about your wrong actions, but don't let your wrong actions take you to a place of despair.
وَلَيْسَ أَحَدُهُمَا بِأَوْلَى مِنَ الْآخِرِ فِي مَحَلِّهِ. You can't say one of them is over the other, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed His mercy is over His rahmah. His mercy is over His justice. But don't put one over the other as long as you're in this world. Right? Before you die, you should hope only for the rahmah. But in this world, you should have them on equal foot. فَالْفِرَارُ مِنْهُ جِنَايَةٌ وَالْبِدَارُ إِلَيْهِ هِدَايَةٌ. To flee from it is a wrong, and to hasten to it is guidance itself. وَالْتَوْفِيقُ مِنْهُ عِنَايَةٌ. And success from him is his providence over you, that he is actually taking care of you. لَإِنْ كَانَ نَقْصُ وَالْعَوْدُ عَظِيمًا فَالرُّجُوعِ إِلَى كَرَمِهِ أَعْظَمٌ مِنَ الْعَظِيمِ. And if your shortcomings and your going back to your wrong action is a great thing, know that returning to His generosity is greater than any great thing that you've done. So know that your tawbah is greater than your wrong action. Be aware of that. Your tawbah is greater than your wrong action. No matter what you did wrong, your tawbah is greater. وَقَدْ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا أَصَرَّ مِنْ إِسْتَغْفَرَ وَإِنْعَادَ فِي الْيَوْمِ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. No one is considered to be continuous in their wrong actions if they ask forgiveness, even if they return to that wrong action 70 times a day. وَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَرٍ تَوَّابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves every person that who does wrongs, continues to كثير الذنب. He has a lot of wrong actions and he has a lot of tawbah. Allah loves that servant. يعني كثير الدم كثير التوبة. He has a lot of wrongs, he has a lot of توبة. وقيل للحسن رضي الله عنه الرجل يذنب ثم يتوب ثم يذنب ثم يتوب إلى متى. Somebody said to Hassan al-Basri, a man will do wrong and then he asks forgiveness, he does wrong, he asks forgiveness, at which point does he stop doing that? And he said, ما أرى هذا إلا من أخلاق المؤمنين. I consider this nothing other than the character of the believers. وفي الحكم إذا وقع منك ذنب فلا يكون سببا ليأسك من حصول الاستقامة مع ربك فقد يكون ذلك آخر ذنب قدر عليك أو قدر عليك. ومن استغرب أن ينقذه الله من شهوته وأن يخرجه عن وجود غفلته فَقَدْ إِسْتَعْجَزَ الْقُدْرَةِ الْإِلَهِيَّةِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. And in the Hikam he says, never allow any wrong action that you do to cause you to despair from gaining istiqama in the future with your Lord, uprightness with your Lord. Because it could be that's the last wrong action you ever do, that's ever decreed for you. And whoever does not believe that Allah, or considers it very unusual that Allah will save him from his appetites and remove him from the condition of his heedlessness, has done nothing other than considered the divine power to be weak. استعجل القدرة الإلهية. In other words, if you think that Allah can't take you right now, in the state you're in, with all your wrongs and all your ghafla, your heedlessness, and change you right now in this moment, and make you upright, and make you a wali of God, then he's saying, you've incapacitated divine power. Allah is qadr ala kulli shay. Fafham, ayyuha al-akh, wa tafahham, wa ta'ammal, wa tadabbar, fi ruju'ika min husni dhan billah, wa ma fi في باقك من الإعراض والاستغناء يحملك ذلك على الانحياش إليه كيفما كنت والسلام. So understand, O my brother, and really reflect on this. Consider it. Ponder it. Ponder your return to having a good opinion of Allah. And reflect on your إباقك. You know, Adab is a slave that runs away from his master. Reflect on your running away from your master and your turning away from him and feeling independent of him. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Man has transgressed his Lord when he deems himself independent of his Lord. You're completely dependent on him. So this should cause you to feel إِنْحِيَاشْ إِلَيْهِ. you should feel this alienation. If you really think about this, you should feel this alienation that you want to remove, no matter what your condition is. Wassalam. That's how he ends it. So that's the end of that section. Wassalam. Jazallahu khairan. It's a great work. And then the next one, he's Tahqiq al-Azima bil-Amal. He's going to tell you how to realize your Azima, how to do it. Three things. If those don't work, he gives you three more. Jazallahu khairan. I mean, it's really an amazing work. So, alhamdulillah. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين